This is Jill, and welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings podcast. I know it's been a while, so thanks for bearing with me. You can probably tell I don't sound like a NyQuil commercial anymore, and I am back in Sacramento. So I had a nice, about a month away in Colorado, which was a really nice little R&R during the holiday break there with family and friends. And so it was a great time and returned just in time to get hit with all these storms. And I'm doing a podcast right now at my desk with my balcony furniture behind me. So it's been eventful. We had the beam last night, which I think all of Sacramento definitely could have used. So that was exciting. So during this stretch, we've seen some ups and downs of this team. We're seeing the ebbs and flows of the season. We are seeing teams have a lot of film on the Kings at this point, and they're not a surprise anymore. And so the Kings are still fourth in offensive rating, but they've fallen back down to 24th. In their last 10 games, they're 5-5 with they're the third offensive rating in the league right now in those 10 games, which to me was kind of surprising. But in defensive rating, they're 29th. So that is the reason why you're seeing 5-5 record. During those five games, the Kings trended down and were 29th in defensive rating with they only had a scoring 119.7 offensive rating. Their defensive rating was so bad, it's 119.3. They only had a positive net rating of 0.3. I mean, at least it was a positive, but it was only positive because their offense was going so crazy. So again, I know Brown has been saying this, you know, it's something this team has to figure out, right? And he has said this, that he knows they can do it because they've done it. It's just they've never been able to figure out how to do it for a full game, let alone once you figure out how to do it for a full game, then do it for multiple games in a row. And so I know in December we did see the team trending and that they were, you know, a top 10 defense during stretches. And so, again, we know they can do it. And with these opponents, this is when they should be able to do it, right? Like, theoretically, it's with the level of talent you're going against going down, this is when you should be able to do it. And I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday, but this is kind of the part of the season where historically, you know, during this long stretch that we've had, that this is where teams kind of fall apart. And so I think this team has much more talent than we've had in previous years. I think their coaching staff is better. The foundation of what they're building is better. So I don't think that's going to happen to this group. Like, I'm looking forward to them proving, like, no, we're not going to be like the rest. We're going to take care of business. We're not going to fold the second half of the season. We're going to make the adjustments needed, and we're going to take care of business. So this is what I'm looking to see from this group, because with the talent they have and with the craziness of the West right now, it's there for the taking. And that's one of the things is we've kind of been in this position too, where it's been there for the taking and the Kings, right, just haven't capitalized. And so I just really want to see them finally push through that wall and do what needs to be done, right? And do it defensively, which we haven't seen. Like, offense, they're so fun to watch. And I know, and I think because their offense is so good, defenses are getting more chances, right? Like, you usually see that when teams play at a higher pace, the opposing team gets more chances. And so this team has to figure out how to do enough to limit that. And, you know, and I think Monty, these losses have shown Monty, you know, where these weaknesses are with this group. to where I think he can make some moves. And I don't think it needs to be, you know, some, you know, crazy grand move. I think there are, you know, role players out there available that he can target. But again, it's going to be depending on, you know, those other teams have to have something we want. And the asking price has to be right. And, you know, we know crazy reports are going to come out during trade season. There was one today talking about how Atlanta wants, you know, the Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert asking price for John Collins. Well, I'm sorry, that's just crazy. And this is for a guy that they've had, you know, up on the trade block for 3 years, right? And so I feel bad for Collins in that aspect. But to me, it's more so I see Atlanta saying, you know, rather than what they think Collins is worth, I see Atlanta saying, we want to recoup some of what we gave away when we went and got DeJounte Murray. So I see it more about that than the value of what they're perceiving Collins to be. I think they just want picks back than, you know, than what they sent out, because they're not playing that well right now. So again, it's going to be interesting. You see the Spurs, you know, we know Poeltl's out there, Jakob and, you know, Dougie McDermott, who's played with, you know, Sabonis before and would match this offensive perfectly. And I think he's enough of a team defensive player where he would be fine. You know, he played for those good playoff Pacers teams, and he's a high IQ basketball player, so I don't think that he would be an issue there. You know, we know Toronto, who knows what's going to happen there. I mean, they could be a buyer or a seller. We have Charlotte Hornets, you know, Mason Plumlee. To me, he would be a great backup five to Sabonis. He can play the high pick and roll. He can play off the elbow. He can pass the ball. He knows Jay Triano's offense. He was also in Denver, so he knows Jordy. Like, to me, he would be a great fit behind Sabonis of what you could ask for in a backup. Are the Bulls going to be buyers or sellers? What are the Mavs going to do? Magic, you know, what are they doing with Bamba? The Pistons, you know, we know Bohan's available. What are they going to do? The Jazz, you know, is Vanderbilt available? Are any of their wings available? Is Clarkson or Beasley available? You have the Houston Rockets. We heard in the offseason that, you know, their Kenyon Martin Jr. wanted to be traded, who, you know, the Kings had, and then they traded to the Rockets and who the Rockets drafted. But, you know, he's a bouncy player who you could probably throw in. Oklahoma City, what are they going to do? I mean, there's just, it's really hard to know right now, because the West is so close too. It's hard to know who's going to be a buyer and seller. I mean, Houston's 1-9 in their last 10. Utah Jazz is 3-7 in their last 10. The Pistons 3-7. Orlando Magic 4-6. Mavericks are trending up at 8-2. You have the Bulls at 6-4. The Clippers have lost 6 in a row and they're 3-7. So what could happen there? Are they going to go, you know, are they going to sell maybe some of the pieces that they bought last year? Or do they think that somehow Paul George and Kawhi could be healthy in the second half of the season, which they haven't been in the first half? The Lakers have been trending up at 6-4. The Knicks 4-6 in the last 10. The Warriors, even without Curry, have been trending up. Phoenix has been trending down. They're 1-9 in their last 10. Paul's in and out, and we know, you know, Booker, they're extremely missing him. It's really going to be a toss up. Who people thought would be sellers would be the Pacers, and the Pacers are playing really well, right? Like, they have nothing to lose, and they're 8-10 in their last 10. Charlotte Hornets are 3-7. So I just think they're going to be sellers. And with Plumlee, you have Jalen McDaniels, who I've talked about on this pod here before. Minnesota Timberwolves, what are they doing? Are they going for it? I know Cat's out, but maybe do they look at trying to recoup some first back from the Gobert trade? Washington Wizards, like, what are they going to do? We know Kuzma, they have plenty of guards. Again, like there's so many options, and it's going to be exciting, but it's also going to be craziness because we don't know what's coming. And that creates a whole, another thing. And so we have, the Rockets, the next two games, we have them tomorrow, and then we have them on Friday. Then we have the Spurs on Sunday, followed by the Lakers again that next Wednesday. And something about that Sunday, that January 15th, in case anybody doesn't know, that is the date that players who signed extensions, who signed off-season deals, they can now be traded, like a Bamba. They can now be traded after January 15th. So that's a date to keep in mind for anybody else out there. But I know specifically people have asked why Bamba hasn't been moved, regardless to the Kings or anybody else, because we know other teams are looking. January 15th is the date that more players can be traded. So I do think, the January 10th was the deadline for making guys' contracts good for the rest of the season. Like, we saw Delly and KZ get their full contract guaranteed. And then, so that was January 10th. And then you have the 15th. And I think that's the last like trigger date. And so from then on, if I'm not mistaken, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but everyone is basically free reign now. It's open season. And so, I know we usually see a lot of deals done that week leading up to the deadline and the 24 hours before the deadline. But depending on how these next games go, could determine, how early maybe the Kings try and make a move or other teams try and make a move. If you see teams trending up or down again as it gets closer, you might see some early things. But again, it's always hard to tell. I know we're all itching because we want to just, make the moves if you want to make the moves. We'd rather have them happen now than later and just, let guys have more time. But when it comes to negotiations, we know that's just not how it happens. And so yeah, we just kind of have to play it how it is. But again, like we said, this is a stretch of games where at home, this team should be winning. So, can this team do it, right? Can they do it? They're sitting at what is their record? Because I know if you follow me on Twitter, we have that we haven't been able to get to that 5 games over 500 mark. That seems to be, our trigger. And so right now we're 3 games over. If we take care of business, we could hit that 5 over 500 mark. So don't let us down, Kings. Let's break a record. We've broken plenty of records this year. We just broke the most threes in a game that we had. And let's see if we can break the record of getting 5 games over 500. Let's give ourselves as much of a buffer as we can because we're going to be facing some tougher teams again right after this home stretch. So, what do we say? Like, give ourselves as much opportunity as possible. As always, thanks for waiting on me. Thanks for tuning in. I'll have another episode up this week after I'll either have one after the game tomorrow or I'll do one maybe Friday night or Saturday after these next two games. And then we have one on Sunday again. So it's gonna get busy. But as always, again, thanks for listening and go Kings.